America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Comes in. He's eligible. Here is Hunt for the touchdown. Kansas City remains unbeaten. 8-0.
Yeah, 8-0. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman last night. Really good Monday night football game. Tampa brought it last night. They are definitely a team that, even despite their losses, and that's their second primetime overtime loss, they're just the fourth team in NFL history to lose two games in a season in primetime, in overtime, on touchdowns on the opening drive, let alone it happened against the Falcons a few weeks ago. They've lost so many players, but Todd Bowles keeps them fighting. But, of course, he's always in the crosshairs of controversy as well. More on that coming up here momentarily. Good morning, everybody. It is a big day here on Tuesday, November 5th. It's trade deadline day. 4 p.m. today is the deadline for NFL trades. We've already had one big one, and that is Za'Darius Smith, outside linebacker, pass rusher, going to Detroit. This was something that was discussed and rumored for over a week. This was a player that I would have absolutely wanted Washington to pursue. The Lions, by the way, gave up for Za'Darius Smith a 2025 fifth rounder, a 2026 sixth rounder, and they also got back a 2026 seventh rounder. These prices on draft deadline over the last week or a week and a half are not expensive at all, partly because you got to pay these players, and Za'Darius Smith still has another year left on his contract next year, but that's it. You know, his cap hit next year is $5.5 million, and you're getting a really good pass rusher, and the Lions needed one after losing Aiden Hutchinson. We'll keep you posted on trade deadline day throughout the show and throughout the day here on the Team 980. And our Twitter poll, our X poll question of the day, brought to you by our good friends at Window Nation. Will Washington make a trade by 4 p.m. Eastern today? Simply yes or no. You can vote on our Twitter poll, our X poll, at Team 980 on X. I retweeted it as well at Kevin Sheehan, DC. Denton, do you think they're going to make a move by 4 p.m. today?
I have to be honest. I hope they do. I do not think that they will. I think they're going to stick to the plan that they have, but I also don't know that there's a massive market for the positions that they want to acquire. Will they be able to make a move that is within the budget that they want to stay in? It seems like Adam Peters doesn't want to give up a day one or a day two pick. I can't blame him, at least in a very short term. We've seen that he's drafted pretty well with some of the guys that he's taken in the first three rounds of the draft. So I don't think that they do. However, if they could come up with a defensive end or maybe an interior defensive lineman while only giving up a fifth or a sixth, pull that trigger immediately.
I think that there's every bit of a slightly better than 50-50. Every bit of a slightly better than 50-50 chance hedging that Washington makes a deal, but I'm not entirely convinced it'll be on the buy side. I think the Emmanuel Forbes situation is interesting. He did not play a snap on Sunday against the Giants. Now, Washington has very little depth at that position right now. You know, they're basically, you know, they're suiting up more than three, but they only played three on Sunday. They played Benjamin St. Juice, they played Mikey Sanderstill, and they played Noah Igbinoghene. That's it. They need a corner. They need, at the very least, corner depth. But Michael Davis hasn't played since week two. And Emmanuel Forbes, you know, didn't play on Sunday before the trade deadline, you know, albeit against a team that was focused on running the football in the first half and did a pretty good job of it against Washington. But then they went to the air attack in the second half. So I think there's a chance Forbes could be dealt. I think teams look at Forbes as a playmaker and a guy that maybe just wasn't a good fit for either of the last two regimes here. But if they do trade him, I would think that they've got something in mind on the buy side for a corner. They need cornerback help. They really do. And so we'll see what happens. We'll keep you posted, you know, here during the day. I would say, and in that poll, I would vote yes, that there will be a trade by 4 p.m. today. And it'll involve a cornerback, either on the sell of Forbes or on the buy of something else, or maybe both. You know, a guy like Jonathan Jones in New England, there are different, you know, possibilities out there. Za'Darius Smith, you know, it's funny how when you get to these trade deadlines, the better players, the potential impact players, are typically discussed for teams that are contending for a Super Bowl. I don't know why our team wasn't considered as a team that would be, you know, in the hunt for a Super Bowl. Right now, the NFC odds are Detroit 1, Philly 2, Green Bay 3, San Francisco 4, Washington 5. But if you look at some of the different, you know, for whatever they're worth, the ESPN analytics basically had Detroit as the favorite to win the NFC championship, followed by Philly, and then Washington. I mean, I've never seen our team that high up on a list of potential teams that can win an NFC title. Right now, the NFL power rankings, all these power rankings, Washington's basically a top five team in the NFL. ESPN's got them at fifth. They're the number two team behind Detroit in the NFC. So I trust Adam Peters and company. I mean, I'm in that mode right now, and they've given us every reason through their first offseason and their first nine real games where you really get measured to believe in whatever they decide to do. I definitely think that it should be explored, and I'd be shocked if they're not exploring different things to give themselves a better chance to beat Detroit, to beat San Francisco, to beat Philadelphia, to beat Green Bay. Those are the teams that they're going to have to beat maybe in succession in January to reach the ultimate, the Super Bowl in New Orleans in February of 2025. Will Washington make a trade by 4 p.m. today? We will take calls on this probably a little bit later on in this hour, but you can vote on it at our Window Nation X poll of the day at Team 980. On Twitter. So I do want to talk about last night's game for a little bit. First of all, I really like Todd Bowles. I really do. I think he's always been a phenomenal defensive coach. He has not had the same success as a head coach. I think he's incredibly well respected around the league as a defensive mind. I think people like Todd Bowles in general. He got caught in the crosshairs a few weeks ago on a Monday Night Football game against Baltimore at home when Chris Godwin got hurt late in the game and he was questioned by some reporter about why he was in the game. Well, he was in the game because it was a two-possession game. They had already recovered one onside kick and they were trying to actually win the game. And that's why he was in the game. It was kind of a stupid line of questioning in my view. Because, you know, clearly he's not going to put Chris Godwin into a game that's over. That game was not over. They had made a run back into the game. And then last night, the second guessers on should they have gone for two when they tied the game with 27 seconds to go in regulation, or when they, you know, cut the lead, I'm sorry, to 24-23. What a drive that was by Baker Mayfield. If you missed the game last night, it was a close game throughout. Tampa had a 17-10 lead going into the fourth quarter of the game. The Chiefs once again looked very pedestrian on offense. And then Pat Mahomes down 17-10. And this is why he's the best. All right. They actually started to run the football with Kareem Hunt. But on a 12-play, 70-yard drive that tied the game at 17 in the fourth quarter, he was 5-for-5 and threw a touchdown pass. And then they got the ball back, and on a 15-play, 78-yard drive that took 8 minutes and 26 seconds and gave them the lead at 24-17, he was 5-for-6 with a touchdown. In the two drives in the fourth quarter where they had to score, he went 10 for 11 for 65 yards and two touchdowns. And then in overtime, when they got the ball first, they drove it down the field. He was 5 for 5 for 52 yards. In three drives in their final four legitimate drives of the game, with the game on the line, Pat Mahomes was 15 of 16 for 117 yards and two touchdowns. That's why he's the best quarterback in the game. And by the way, a lot of the completions were off of extending plays, creativity, off platform, off schedule. He is the best quarterback, maybe ever. And the results and the statistics lie when it comes to him. If you've got one quarterback to lead a game-winning drive in the NFL, I think you're insane if you pick anybody other than Patrick Mahomes. This game, however, wasn't over when they took a 24-17 lead late. Tampa Bay, 10 plays, 71 yards. Baker Mayfield throws a touchdown pass to Miller with 27 seconds to go to make it 24-23. Aikman's on the broadcast saying, you got to go for two. You know, I forget if Joe Buck was agreeing with him. Everybody afterwards, they made a mistake. They didn't go for two. They kicked the extra point, went to overtime. You can't do that. You can't have the game decided on a coin flip because there's no chance that if Kansas City wins the coin flip, that Mahomes isn't going to lead him down the field for a touchdown and you're going to lose the game. There's so many things here that are, you know, beyond just the emotion of, you know, you got to go for two. I've talked about this so many times in the past, but this is another chance to do it. You know, remember last year when Washington had a chance to go for two, that was actually the final play of regulation. There is a difference between a two-point conversion for the win and a two-point conversion for the lead. With 27 seconds to go in the game, and Kansas City holding three timeouts, and Patrick Mahomes being the quarterback of the Chiefs, you're not going for the win with 27 seconds to go. You're deciding to go for the lead. There's a big difference because if there's no time left for the Chiefs to answer, then you're going for the win on one play. And then you got to decide, hey, do we have the right play? Is the context of the game right? It was raining last night at Arrowhead. It was a wet field. Do we have them on their heels? How do we feel about it? A lot of people said the touchdown pass to Miller was actually the two-point play. I don't know if that's true or not. But there's so much context around the analytics of the historical data. Because the two-point to go or not to go is based on historical data and league averages, all right? And it essentially assumes a 50-50 play. And it also assumes in that case, in some instances, not the analytics, but people in their evaluation of the play, going for the win. No, you're not going for the win with 27 seconds to go. And what you're doing, if you do convert, is you are then giving Patrick Mahomes four downs, not three in a punt, four. And ironically, they were third and one with 15 seconds to fourth and one, 15 seconds to go from their own 40-yard line, and they punted. Well, if they were down at that point 25 to 24, they're going for it. And they're going to, with Mahomes, don't you think they've got a chance to convert a play and get into field goal range? That's a big part of the evaluation in the moment. I had no problem with Todd Bowles kicking the extra point. None at all. It was a very debatable situation. By the way, yes, there's a chance with Mahomes, and it's probably greater. If they win the coin flip, they'll go down and score. But you do know that the percentage of time that a team wins the toss and goes down and scores the touchdown is 18%. So there's an 82% chance historically. Again, context, Chiefs, Mahomes, it's higher with him, get it. But it's still not better than 50-50. But here's another piece of data that's rather important for this particular season. So last year was the 29th season of the two-point conversion. We are actually 30 years now. 1994 was the first year that the two-point conversion was adopted by the NFL. Always a college rule, was an AFL rule, was a USFL rule. The NFL avoided the two-point conversion until 1994. They adopted it in 1994. Last year was the highest percentage of two-point conversions made in the history of the two-point conversion. 55% were converted. The overall average over 29 years, and it's going to be lower than that, and I'll tell you why here in a moment, was 48.3%. Okay, so 29 years of two-point data, 48.3% is what it was. And that's less than 50-50. Just remember that, because the two-point, you know, conversion, when you're down 14, you score, you're down 8. You know, the analytics people say you go for two there to try to get the lead, and then you can kick for the win. The 50 play, it's actually not been a 50-50 play. It's been slightly less than a 50-50 play. But how about this, Denton? So far this year, going into this past weekend, 31% league-wide on two-point conversions. One of the worst starts to a two-point conversion year in NFL history since they adopted the rule. The reasons for it, have no idea. Haven't given it a lot of thought. I tried to give, you know, a quick thought to why that would be, but coming into the weekend, teams had converted only 31% of their two-point conversion attempts. So, you know, the overall percentage, if this continues, will drop a little bit. I wonder if the two-point analytics community will change their opinion if you end up getting further below 50% as an historical average. I had no problem with Todd Bowles kicking the extra point. I would have had no problem had he gone for it. If he had a really good play, felt really good about taking the lead, go for it. If he felt really good about his defense, stopping Patrick Mahomes in a four-down situation from getting into field goal range, because that's a critical part of the discussion in that spot. When you kick and you make, the other team is in three-down and then punt territory if they're in their own territory. But if they're down one, well, of course, they're going to go for it on fourth down. You're going to give Patrick Mahomes 27 seconds, three timeouts, and four downs? You don't think he's going to get in field goal range? I know he didn't with three downs. Understood. There were a couple of miscommunications, actually, with the guy who played well last night, DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, my God, that's almost unfair, Denton. I mean, I don't know if you were watching the game, but at one point, when Hopkins caught his second touchdown pass, I'm just like, okay, this is just not fair. They just add DeAndre Hopkins, and now he's going to be great again. 8 catches, 86 yards, 2 touchdowns on the night for them. They have not even played their best football, and they're 8-0. But I felt badly for Todd Bowles. People just crucifying him and people not considering valuable information that was, you know, probably in his mind and in his, you know, game situation coach's mind. Like, no, we don't have a great play, maybe. We just used our best play. It's raining. It's wet. Our defense has actually played pretty well most of the night up until the fourth quarter. I'll concede that. And bottom line is, I don't want to give Patrick Mahomes four downs in 27 seconds with three timeouts to beat us on a walk-off field goal. No, we'll kick it. Very debatable. Very debatable. I would bet that the two-point analytics, you know, community probably said go for it, but it couldn't have been by a wide margin. There's no way that that was an overwhelming whiff by Todd Bowles. I refuse to believe that. That was, to me, very 50-50-ish. Either way was, you know, we don't have nearly the information he does with respect to the context. But I wouldn't want to give Patrick Mahomes four downs, 27 seconds, and three timeouts, personally. Really good football game, though, last night. Tampa really is one of those teams, Denton, that you look at and you say, injuries derailed the season. They were going to be a really good football team, and they were going to be potentially a playoff team and maybe even a division winner, but they just had way too many injuries. And still, they're still in these games. Still had a chance to beat Atlanta last week. You know, they had a chance against the Ravens. The Chiefs, they got a fourth quarter lead at Arrowhead against the Chiefs. They're a perfect example to slip away in ugly fashion, like you may see in Dallas, like you may see in New Orleans or Tennessee and other places. I think a big part of that is Todd Bowles. Just always been a big fan of his. Do you have anything on the game? What'd you think?
I thought it was funny that DeAndre Hopkins was almost in tears after the game because he's finally playing with a quarterback that's on the level of his talent. I just think Kansas City finds ways to win. It's really impressive, and you're 100% right about there's no – right now Lamar Jackson is playing the best in the NFL right now. It's him, Josh Allen, Burrow, and Jaden. I would say they're playing – those are the four best quarterbacks in terms of playing this season, but there's nobody that you would rather have than Patrick Mahomes with a game on the line or in overtime because he just doesn't make mistakes. As weird as this season has been for him in the way of turnovers, if you look at these, like, he didn't turn the ball over once last night. That to me is incredibly impressive. There is, like, they're almost playing with their food through the first eight games of the season, but when he has to turn it on, he does. It's insane.
It's really, that's such a great sort of visual. They're just sitting there playing with their food like Biden time. They're bored. They're bored in the regular season. They've been so good. They've won so much. The regular season bores them. I mean, believe it or not, there was a time, because Riggins has talked about this before. Riggo mentioned this several times when years ago when I did a show with him and, you know, the different things I did with him over the years, that it was always for them about building towards the postseason, the playoffs, that it wasn't the regular season games. There were big and meaningful regular season games, don't get me wrong, but they were, you know, geared towards, you know, being excited and getting excited when they got to the postseason. Kansas City's that kind of team. Now, they've got some games. You know, they got the game at Buffalo in a couple of weeks. That's a big regular season game. They've got a couple of games towards the end of the year against Houston and Pittsburgh that'll be, you know, important games. But, you know, we saw last year and we all wanted to see what it would look like on the road. And it looked pretty good, you know, in wins at Buffalo and in Baltimore to get to the Super Bowl and to win it again. This year, you know, right now, it certainly looks like they're going to be at home. Although the game at Buffalo in a couple of weeks could be the determining game for the one seed in the AFC. But they've already done it at Buffalo. You know, they've already taken care of Buffalo. Buffalo has to get over the Chiefs hurdle. It's been a tough one for them. All right. We'll do some trade deadline. We'll open up the phone lines. Should they? Will they? And that is by 4 p.m. today. Make a trade. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Should Washington make a trade? And if so, give me a couple of your ideas. Will they make a trade today? Also, have a quick tweet that I want to respond to about Jaden's ranking among NFL quarterbacks. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
From Zane on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter at Kevin Sheehan DC. You can tweet me. You're way off on your ranking of Jaden Daniels. There's no chance I'd ever put him in front of Joe Burrow. From Mason K, who basically said, you're smoking the good stuff. Jaden Daniels is not the fourth best quarterback in the league. I don't even have him in my top 10. And then he gave me his top 10. It was Mahomes, Jackson, Burrow, Allen, Stafford, Herbert, Stroud, Goff, Love, Kyler. And then he actually put Kirk Cousins ahead of Jaden Daniels as well. I did say that I thought that Jaden was in that next tier after Pat Mahomes, that I've Mahomes one, and then, you know, Jackson, Allen, and Daniels are in tier two. But I did mention, I said, look, if you put Burrow into that tier, I get it and I understand it. But I was also emphasizing the idea of he's high level when he's able to take what they give him. And he's super high level when it's not there, and he's got to create something good when it's not there. Now, Burrow does the same thing. And Burrow is a spectacular quarterback who just seems to throw 3, 4, 5 touchdowns every week. Is he leading the league in touchdowns, Denton? You would know.
I think it's still Baker. Hold on. Let me just make sure I was getting my tweets right there. Did the guy that said you were smoking something have Kyler Murray ahead of Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, I didn't even look. I would not have Kyler Murray. I would, like, if I were just not witnessing it up close, there are people like, you know, Herbert and Stroud and Goff. I understand why people would say, yeah, he's not in that category yet. If you're not really paying attention, there is no way I would take Jared Goff or CJ Stroud in particular, or Kyler Murray over Jaden Daniels. If you know, these are these off-season conversations where you start getting the people who do the tiers and they do the rankings. Jaden's going to be in no worse than tier 2 when we get to the off-season here, and probably tier 1 but remember, like, I think CBS Sports did the tier thing, and it was like, Mahomes is his own tier. Now we can start, you know, discussing everybody else. I'm with that on the quarterback conversation. I think Mahomes is on a different planet than everybody else. He is a step and a half, if not more than a step and a half, you know, past whomever number two is. Number two, he's going to be in the conversation with. And there are probably more guys that deserve to be in that conversation. That's fair. I don't want to get into that conversation now because he's only played 9 games. There's 7 left. And he hasn't played in, you know, games in which, you know, he's down 2 scores. He's got to bring them back, you know, and he pulls that off. Multiple games where, you know, a drive, 30 seconds left, no timeouts, needing field goal range. You know, we're going to need to see some of those. We're going to need to see the bad weather. You know, there are quarterbacks that aren't great or less or much less in cold weather. He was all bundled up in the Chicago game last week, and it was like 58 degrees. He was kind of bundled up in the Meadowlands Sunday, and it was not cold. You know, he's never played in a cold weather environment. That could be his kryptonite. Who knows? I mean, we got a long way to go, but right now, if you forced me to say, where is he? He's a top 5 quarterback, and I'd put him top 4. I think Burrow's the one that is totally justifiable in a top 4 conversation after Mahomes. Jackson, Josh, Burrow, and Jaden. I don't know who else you definitively say is better than him right now. Nobody's playing better than him. Stroud's not playing better than him. Herbert's not playing better than him. Goff, to a certain degree, is, but he's not, you know, like putting up the kind of numbers, and he's not the same kind of quarterback. Jordan Love is not at Jaden's level. I thought he would be. A few weeks ago, he's had some backbreaking bad plays. I like Jordan Love a lot, though. I will say that. I think he is going to continue to get better and will be a very, very high-level quarterback. Kyler Murray, I've just never been a fan of. I know he is making things happen for the Cardinals, but he's feast or famine. Too much of that for me. All right. Anyway. Should they? Will they? On the trade deadline today, 4 p.m., it is our Window Nation poll of the day. Go to @Team980 to vote. The early votes coming in right now at basically even. We got 50.9% yes, they will, and 49.1% that they won't. I think that there's a slightly better than 50-50 chance something happens today. It could be on the sell side. It could be Emmanuel Forbes. So I did get this from a friend of mine. He sent me a bunch of texts, a bunch of tweets that I had not seen. I apologize. But Josina Anderson, I guess, tweeted out last night, "I'm told the Commanders have recently assessed potential interest for Emmanuel Forbes on the trade market per sources." And then Ben, our Ben Standing, last night at about 8:45, "Here's what I've heard on Forbes. I've heard multiple teams say that, yeah, he's available, that Washington is open to moving him." So, I mean, you talk about a team that would then really be in a depth situation at corner. I mean, they're only playing 3. The other guys are sitting. You know, you've got Michael Davis on the roster. You've got, after that, I mean, you got to go to the practice squad to find, you know, Bobby Price, who's on the practice squad. You know, the guy Seymour, who they signed, got suspended 2 weeks ago. I would think that if they trade Forbes, they're looking for somebody else. Also, did you catch this from over the weekend? Adam Schefter tweeted out, hold on for a second. "Here's a sentence that hasn't been written or uttered this century. Since before Dan Snyder owned an NFL franchise, players want to wind up in Washington playing for the Commanders. Players are seeking trades to Washington." Yeah, I did certainly for 25 years was conditioned, and rightly so, to understand that unless they didn't have any other options, or unless they were just getting paid much above market value, which certainly happened for Dan's first 10 years, this was not a place that they wanted to end up in. All right, 301-230-0980. I say yes, something happens by 4 p.m., and I think there's an equal chance that it's a trade of a player that they have, like Forbes, as much as it's a trade for another player. If they deal Forbes, I certainly think something else is coming back. What do you guys think? 301-230-0980. Let's start with our guy, Brad. Brad, go ahead. What do you think?
Hey, Kevin. Hey, I think we've always kind of been on the same page with this. You know, everything you say, I kind of just duplicate. I guess the thing I don't understand is people who think that football is a 5-year window, 3-year window. Everything happens in windows of time, where this is a week to week and a year to year sport. And if you have opportunities in that year to take advantage of what's in front of you, take advantage of it. You don't know. There's no promise that you'll be back here next year. Just because Jaden looks good doesn't mean that it's going to work out next year. The injuries happen. Teams get better. Things fall different ways. Like, you don't know what's going to happen next year. You're 7-2 right now, and you know you're playing well. The division is open. Make your team better. Don't be irresponsible, but get better. Every team gets better. That's the point of the NFL. You can't have too many good players. It's just the thought of, no, we're building for the future. We can't do it. We can't do it. It just makes no sense. The Cardinals are making moves. They want to play in the future too, right? They're not just saying, oh, we're done this year. You have to get better. And if there's opportunities, and they're responsible opportunities, make your team better and go for it. There's nothing that's going to come any bad, right? If the Redskins make a deep run into the playoffs this year, and then they continue to build next year, it's just going to make the team more money, more people in the stands. It's just going to be better for the team. So I say yes, 100% with you. Do it. Get better. But I think they're just probably going to do a depth piece. It's not going to be that big of a deal. But that's just, I think we're on the same
page. But you and I completely agree on this. And if we believe in what they have now in the front office, then we would, our conclusion would be they're thinking the same way. They understand the league. They understand these opportunities are fleeting. They understand the week-to-week nature of it, and that, nothing's guaranteed. Now, the elite quarterback does guarantee you a competitive team moving forward as long as he's healthy and more opportunities. Yeah. But this is really a very, very unique opportunity. You are 7-2. Yeah. You've got the second best record in the NFC. But here's the key, Brad. You also have needs. You have needs on defense.
Absolutely.
And so if you didn't have any needs, like, Detroit may not have made a move had Aiden Hutchinson not had a season-ending injury. Because they're really a good football team. But they had a need.
They
went out and addressed it. Washington has a need. They have needs on defense. Certainly, I still think that they almost need a run stopper as much as anything else. But I also feel like Wagner and Luvu and Chin are their three best defensive players. And maybe Newton is in that conversation. But You're not fighting for a wild card spot after 9 weeks. You're not 4-5 or 5-4, and you feel like adding a big name, impact player can get you the 7 or 6 seed, and then you'll take your chances in the postseason. You're the second best team record wise in your conference. You've got a chance to win, enough games to play nothing but home games to get to the Super Bowl. So I do think, that in combination with, you have needs at corner, pass rusher, run stoppers, I think you are not responsible if you're not considering making your team better right now. It doesn't mean that it will result in a move, because it still has to be the player that makes a difference for the right price and for the right fit culturally and, contractually moving forward, all of those things. But, Za'Darius Smith, for basically, a 5th and a 6th, and you get a seventh back, I mean, basically nothing, and you have 1 year left on his deal, I mean, that's a big-time move by Detroit that will help them. I don't know that it's the difference between them winning the Super Bowl and not winning the Super Bowl, because even if they didn't make that trade, I would have said their chances to win the Super Bowl or to get to the Super Bowl are pretty high. Let's go to Dontell. Dontell and Frederick. Should they make a trade by 4 p.m. today? Will they?
I'm not sure if they will. Like always, I think they should. And I think the trade should be for a wide receiver. And I know we need help on defense, but I just think that you need to make a few moves on defense. So if they're going to make a few moves on defense, then that's one thing. But if it's just one move, I'm thinking, like, I've been lobbying for T. Higgins, and I was lobbying for D-Hop, but now D-Hop's gone. So now it's all about T. Higgins, and it has to be a sign-and-trade situation if you're going to make that trade. But, I mean, I really think, look at the game last night. You get T. Higgins, and I just think it makes our offense just even that much better. But, Kevin, I want to say one thing before you address that, what I just said, and it's about Todd Bowles. That's a situation that we shouldn't even address, because unless he wins, he's gonna be wrong unless he wins.
Yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, it seems like he's in the, you know, he gets caught in these situations all the time. But for me, like, looking at every single one of the situations, with the exception, by the way, of the playoff game against Detroit last year, they whiffed on that. Detroit whiffed on that. It was a really bad management situation by both teams at the end. But it just seems like he gets hammered all the time for decisions that are very, very debatable. And that's the problem I have. And I just, there's something about him I've just always liked from afar. He is a professional. He is old school. His teams are always good on defense, even when they are banged up on defense. And that team is banged up, and they went to Arrowhead last night, and they had a chance to win the football game. I just like him. Billy, go ahead. Should they make a trade? Oh, real quickly, Dontell, on the wide receiver. Higgins is the guy left, I guess. I guess Olave is now a possibility, although he took a big shot on a high throw from Derek Carr on Sunday and I think got concussed, so I don't know what the situation is with him. I personally don't think that they're desperate for a wide receiver. Now, with that said, do they have an obvious number two? No, they don't, but lurking is a guy like McCaffrey, who I'm just not going to be surprised if somewhere in the next month he ends up with 8 for 110 and 2 touchdowns. Like, he is a good route runner when you watch him. He is a fighter. He's a digger out of safeties. This guy can play. They just haven't found their way to him enough. I would be surprised if it's a number two receiver, you know, or a guy that, you know, could potentially be your number one receiver, which Higgins and Olave are in that conversation. I think it's defense. That's the true need, because that's their limitation. Here's the thing about, as you look forward to the NFC playoffs, if you consider Detroit to be the favorite, you have to be able to match them offensively to have a chance. Because even if your defense is really good, you're probably not going to slow them down enough. Washington actually can match Detroit offensively if they got into a game with them in the postseason. Billy, go ahead. Should they make a trade by 4 p.m.? Will they make a trade by 4 p.m.? Go ahead.
If a receiver's open, Jaden will find it. We know that. That's the first observation on that take. I agree. A good number one would be helpful. If I could make a brief observation on yesterday's victory over the Giants, and by the way, the sweep of the Giants, I would just say, you know, thank you to the Mara family. We really appreciate the effort you made back in 2023 to punish football team with the salary cap, the $18 million, or 2012,
$36 million. Thank you, John Mara. Yeah.
You agree. So you agree, we do want to, we appreciate it. I think it impacted Shanahan's staff, the ability to pick up a couple good players.
Oh, no doubt.
And cascading that affected Dan's ability to own the team. Look, if they go on a couple playoff runs with Shanahan, I'm not sure there's enough juice out there for us to move on from Dan. So
it's a long time ago now. But we get, so you're glad that we're paying back the Maras. They stink. We swept them, thankfully. Actually, remember, we swept them in 2021 as well. They hadn't been, years since we swept them. But continue. What about the trade deadline?
And I'd wish him luck on their I'd wish him luck on their QB search as well going into the future. Of course, we found ours, just to remind them, Giants fans. We found ours.
Yes.
Look, Ramsey or Lattimore, get a shutdown cornerback. Listen, we're probably going to win the Super Bowl anyway with this Jaden. This guy is unbelievable. But you get a shutdown cornerback, forget about it. I don't care about the run. The run does nothing in the NFL anymore. 20 years ago, it matters. It doesn't matter anymore. We have probably the best quarterback in the league. He's absolutely in the top five. I would take him over right now, his age versus Mahomes. I would take JD. The way the guy sees the field is unbelievable. McLaurin stepping up. I can taste the beignets. Kevin, have you been to Bourbon Street?
I have been to Bourbon Street, and they get it's a little bit sugary for me, but I'll pound one down with a good coffee, with something good in the coffee. You're all over the place per usual, but let me just mention real quickly, or ask Denton, is Jalen Ramsey on the trade market?
I don't know that he's officially on the market. He is going to be named in an exercise that you and I do in about 30 minutes after Mike Jones joins us. But I think because the Dolphins are bad, that puts him on the market in the event where they think they need to get rid of some money because they're not winning.
Didn't they sign him to a big deal last year or this year?
They did sign him to a very large deal, yes.
Yeah.
But there's also been like speculation. I don't know how true this is, that potentially Tyreek Hill is on the market. I think he would only land in one team, which is a team he played for before joining the Dolphins, but that's just something to keep an eye on.
Right. How old is Jalen Ramsey now?
I don't think he's 30 yet.
Okay. All right. Everybody on hold, stay there. We'll take a few more calls on this. Dylan, Ian, Tony, Lou, Avine, Junkyard, stay there. Should they make a trade by 4 p.m.? Will they make a trade by 4 p.m.? It's the Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, theteam980.com. Mike Jones from The Athletic will ask him at 11 a.m.
Monday Night Football last night, Chiefs remain unbeaten. They advance to 8-0 with a 30-24 win in overtime against the Buccaneers. Patrick Mahomes had his best game of the season, 34 of 44, 291 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Travis Kelce caught 14 balls for 100 yards. DeAndre Hopkins caught 2 of those 3 touchdowns. Earlier today, the Lions traded for Browns defensive end Za'Darius Smith. They gave up a 2025 fifth-rounder and a sixth-rounder. The Bengals traded for Khalil Herbert from Chicago in exchange for a 2025 seventh-round pick, and the Dallas Cowboys traded for Jonathan Mingo of the Carolina Panthers for a fourth-round pick, bolstering up their wide receiver group with Cooper Rush, because Dak Prescott's going to be out for a couple of weeks with a hamstring injury. That was announced yesterday. Big win for Kevin's Turtles. The Terps started their season with a big win over Manhattan, 79-49. It was a historic performance for Derek Queen. He became the first Terp since Joe Smith to have a 20-20 game, 22 points and 20 rebounds. And that's what's trending.
All right, should they make a trade by the 4 p.m. deadline? Will they make a trade by the 4 p.m. deadline? I say that there is a slightly better than 50-50 chance something happens. Keep it here all day. We'll have the breaking news when it happens. How about the Cowboys trading for Jonathan Mingo and giving up a fourth-round pick? That seems awfully high for a receiver that most people have never even heard of. They need Chuba Hubbard from the Panthers. That's who they need. Let's go to Ian. Should they, will they?
I think they should, and I think they will. I don't think the move will be dramatic, as we've seen. It's a lot of players that aren't real needle movers. But I think the one point I want to add is I think it's really important for the messaging of the team in terms of that window that Brad talked about. I totally agree that if you had said Dan Marino's only going to make one Super Bowl, you would have never thought that, because you would have thought his window was so long. So the messaging is, hey, we have a chance this year. The way the schedule broke, the way we're playing, the way everything's worked out, there's nothing stopping us from winning a Super Bowl, contending for a Super Bowl this year and in the future. But I think a lot of times GMs, and I'm not saying this about Peters, but a lot of coaches and GMs hesitate to make these types of declarative moves because I think it puts an undue amount of pressure that they have to win right now. And there's always this notion of, okay, we won a playoff game, lost a close NFC game, we'll be here next year. And I think there's a lot of fear in the way sports front offices approach things. And I really appreciated how Kyle, John Lynch, Adam Peters were like, yeah, we're going to get McCaffrey. We're going for it right yep. now, right here. And I hope they take that mantra now. And
I do too. It doesn't mean that there's somebody out there that would make that kind of difference. And if there isn't, I don't want them to reach, but I want them to think that way, you know, because yeah, you know, the Marino example is a really good one. I mean, he got to the Super Bowl in his second year, which was one of the more historical passing seasons of all time. In that moment, it was 48 touchdowns over 5,000 yards when nobody was throwing for 4,000 yards, except for Dan Fouts. And he never got back to another one. I mean, there are plenty of those examples. Lamar Jackson's not been to a Super Bowl yet. He's a great quarterback. Right. I mean, this opportunity right now, I don't want to oversell it like, you know, this is going to be the last chance that they're 7-2 and have a chance for a one seed. Detroit still is in that, you know, rough and tumble, you know, NFC North. They have other, you know, out of division games that are tough. Washington could be hosting two playoff games to get to the Super Bowl after sitting out the first round. But I think the chances of doing that without an improved defense are much less. Let's go to Tony in D.C. Should they make a trade by 4 p.m., Tony? Will they?
Good morning, Kevin. Yes, I think they'll make a trade. I'm like George Allen. The future is now, so why not make a trade and better our team? I would like to hopefully see them get a cornerback like Lattimore. And
Lattimore's just also been injured so much. I talked to Denton about that before the show. I should have mentioned it already, and I think Billy did. To me, how many games has he missed in the last few years, Denton?
He missed 9 a couple years ago, and I think 7 last year.
He just is always either out or on the injury report, it just seems like to me. He's a great player when healthy. I also think that he may be a bit of a headache at times for teams, for the Saints.
Okay, so, okay. Well, I would like to see them get some kind of cornerback help back there to help.
Me too.
And everything. And also, too, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing them get a receiver like Mike Williams, somebody. They need another receiver that can take the pressure off of Terry, because if you get somebody like that, they're going to have to double-team one of the two, because we don't have that type of receiver that they really can concentrate on Terry but not on the other guy.
You're not double-teaming Mike Williams anymore. And I'm a big Mike Williams fan from his Chargers days with Keenan Allen. And he's another one that, you know, he's missed some games. But Terry's the number one guy with Mike Williams. Terry's the number one guy with T. Higgins, although it's close. T. Higgins is spectacular. Thanks for the call. By the way, a buddy of mine just texted, the Lions have already played the two teams in their division on the road. The next two are at home. Yes, but they play the Bills, and they still play the 49ers, and they still play the Texans. They're playing the Texans this Sunday night on the road. So, you know, you got a shot. The two Philly games will be huge. Aveen, go ahead. Should they? Will they?
Hi, Kevin. I think we definitely should be looking to make a move on defense. I think our offense is so elite and special that it can take us far through the NFC on its own, but we do need more help on defense. But the offense is so good that the margin of error on defense is high. We just need the defense to make a couple of plays, handful of plays. And, Kevin, I'm just looking at the remaining schedule, and I don't see a team better than us. I know Philadelphia seems more talented, but, Kevin, they are so much more sloppier than us. They make so many dumb mistakes. They get off to slow starts. If they get off to a slow start against us on Thursday, they might be down 2 scores. So I'm looking at the schedule. I'm thinking one seed. I'm thinking we should go for this, and we should address defense.
Yeah. Again, you know, You got to have a solution. You got to have the player that makes sense, that is definitely going to make an impact in the areas in which you need impact made. I would say defense. I would say certainly at corner. I would say pass rusher, although, you know, they've gotten better with pass rush rate. You know, guys like Armstrong and Fowler Jr. and, you know, Luvu, when they turn him loose, and Newton, you know, they may feel a little bit better about their pass rushing situation than they did maybe a month ago. They can't feel good about two things. They can't feel good about their run-stopping ability, and they can't feel good about what they have behind that pass rush if it doesn't get there. All of you that I missed, I apologize. Maybe we'll get back to this later on in the show. Mike Jones, let's see what he thinks about trade deadline possibilities for Washington. He'll join us next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.